Chapter 5. Bhumi. Bhumi did not realize that sending her daughter to a famous university for rich people would have a negative effect on their lives. When Carol came home after her first term, crying because she did not fit in or have any friends, Bhumi thought that would be the worst thing to happen. But then the Carol who returned home after her second term at school was not her Carol at all. This Carol spoke strangely and looked around their little flat as if it were full of insects. Eventually, Carol rarely came home at all. Instead, she spent her weekends and holidays at her friends' large houses in the countryside. When Carol graduated, Bhumi cried proudly and wished her husband, Augustine, was still alive to see their daughter succeeding in life. "Now you've graduated, it's time for you to get a good job and a Nigerian husband so you can give me some grandchildren," Bhumi told Carol before she got on the train back home to Peckham. Carol did not come home with her, but returned to the flat a week later, red-eyed and tired. "I've been partying, Mother," Carol told her.
"Partying?" Bhumi asked. "You're too old to be out partying. Are you sleeping around? Is that it?"
"No," said Carol. "I've never slept with anyone. I'm a virgin."
"Good," said Bhumi. "You have to stay a virgin. Remember, you are Nigerian. You're not one of these silly English girls. Now, I'm going to make your favorite meal for dinner."
"I'm not hungry, don't worry," Carol replied, before going into her room and shutting the door behind her. For the first time in 3 years, Carol stayed with Bhumi so she could save money for a home of her own. Bhumi used the time to introduce Carol to some of the handsome Nigerian men who went to her church, but Carol never agreed to date them.
"I'm not really interested in dating at the moment," Carol told Bhumi.
"Don't wait too long," said Bhumi. "After you turn 30, you will be too old."
Bhumi and Carol lived together peacefully for a couple of years, although Carol worked very late and stayed with friends most nights. Then one morning at breakfast, Carol suddenly said, "I have something to share. I'm engaged to be married, Mother." Bhumi did not know what to think. How could her daughter marry a man she had not even introduced to her mama?
"Oh, and he's white, English," said Carol quietly. "We've been dating for a while, and I'm really in love with him."
Bhumi wanted to hit her daughter.
"Why do you like to cause problems for me?" she shouted. "You're bringing shame on your papa's life and on this family."
Bhumi wished Augustine was still alive to talk to their daughter. She did not know what to do. It was just like when Carol had gone through a difficult period when she was 13 and refused to leave her bedroom for whole weekends. She had only come out to eat, wash, and go to the toilet.
"What are you doing in there?" Bhumi would ask.
"Sleeping. I'm tired, Mama," Carol would reply.
Bhumi had been so proud when Carol was accepted to Oxford, but she could not have ever guessed that going to university would lead to Carol rejecting her true culture.
"Carol, listen to me. You are Nigerian before anything," Bhumi told her. "You must marry a Nigerian man. If not for me, then do it for your poor papa, please."
When that did not work, Bhumi decided to ignore her daughter. She did not speak to Carol or cook food for her, or even say goodnight to her when Carol went to bed. Bhumi hoped she cried herself to sleep every night. Then one morning, nearly 3 months later, Carol walked into the kitchen, looking all English as usual, and said, "You'll be pleased to hear that I'm moving out and in with Freddie, Mother. You'll never have to see me again."
Carol expected her mother to continue to ignore her. But something inside Bumi broke. She knew that she did not want to lose her daughter, the only person left in her life who she loved.
Carol, you are a Nigerian. It doesn't matter how English your future husband will be or how English you pretend to be. You are Nigerian, and if you ever call me mother again, I'll beat you until you bleed. I'm your mama, now and forever. Never forget that.
By the time she had finished talking, Carol was crying. Bumi hugged her tightly, grateful to have her daughter back. However, Bumi knew that Carol did not belong to her anymore and that she would soon belong completely to the English. When Bumi's papa died, her mama took her through the forest to her grandparents' home. When they arrived, Bumi's grandfather told them Bumi would have to get married as soon as she was old enough.
"I can't keep you both here," he told them. "I have enough problems."
That night, Mama told her that she would not force Bumi to marry anyone. The next morning, she took Bumi by the hand and left before her father woke up. They arrived in the crowded city of Lagos, and Mama asked for work everywhere they went. Bumi hated Lagos. She did not like the noise or the smells or watching her mama beg on the streets every day. One day, they arrived at a factory and Mama managed to get a job. She worked 6 days a week to make enough money for them to live. While Mama went to work, Bumi went to a floating school on the river. The school was expensive, but Mama would rather not eat than have Bumi miss a single lesson.
"You're going to get a good job," Mama would tell her, "so you won't have to worry about how to feed your children if your husband dies."
Then Mama died when Bumi was 15. She fell into a machine while working in the factory, and Bumi was left alone. Bumi could not stay in Lagos any longer and was sent to live with her distant cousin, Auntie Ekio. Auntie Ekio did not treat Bumi like family.
"You should be grateful I'm letting you stay here," said Auntie Ekio, as she showed Bumi around her large home.
Bumi became a servant for Auntie Ekio's family. She cleaned the house, went shopping, and took care of the children. Bumi did it all so that Auntie Ekio would let her stay in her home and study at school and then university. It was at university where Bumi met Augustine. Augustine liked Bumi a lot, and she liked him too. When he asked her to be his wife, she said yes, and felt proud that she was marrying someone for love, like her mama had wanted. Bumi and Augustine moved to England so they could have a better chance of finding good jobs. They both had university degrees, but nobody in England cared about a degree from Nigeria. Instead of getting a job in government or becoming a successful businessman, as he had planned, Augustine had to take a job as a cab driver and worked hard to provide for his family. Bumi could only find work as a cleaner. When they had a child, Carol, Augustine decided that if they could not live a good life in England, then maybe their daughter could. Augustine was a good father who loved Carol. So when he died of a heart attack, Bumi lost her belief in God. She went to church and continued to pray, but she did not believe any of the words that came out of her mouth. Bumi was alone again, but this time she had Carol to take care of, and she knew what she had to do. She would become someone who employed others, rather than someone who waited to be employed. She decided to start her own cleaning company, but she did not have enough money to do it. For help, Bumi turned to Bishop Adorami Obi of her church. Ever since Augustine died, Bishop Obi
had been looking at her strangely. He wanted her, and Bumi wanted something from him. Bishop Obi agreed to meet with Bumi one Monday evening to discuss a way for him to help her start her business. When she arrived, she let him take off her clothes and pretended to enjoy the way it felt when he entered her. When he finished, and they had both redressed themselves, Bishop Obi gave her an envelope filled with money. Bumi smiled. She was now a businesswoman. Bumi's business began to grow slowly. Her first customer was a lady called Penelope Halifax. Penelope was a retired schoolteacher who had once worked at Carol's school. Bumi wanted to mention this to Penelope to try and have a friendly relationship with her, but Penelope did not want to talk to her. "You're here to work, not to talk," Penelope told her. Bumi quickly gained more customers and began to hire more people to work for her. Soon, she had 4 Nigerians, 2 Polish people, and 1 Pakistani person working for her. One of them was Sister Omofe from church. Bumi liked working with Omofe, and she began to miss her when they were apart. They became friends, and sometimes Bumi found herself thinking about touching Omofe in ways that were not acceptable. She imagined them lying together in bed as man and wife, and instead of it feeling bad, it felt right. Omofe invited Bumi to sleep at her flat one morning when they had finished work. "My sons are away at school in Nigeria," said Omofe. "You can sleep in their room if you want, or you can sleep in my double bed with me. You can decide." Bumi followed Omofe into the bedroom, and they spent the night exploring each other's bodies. Bumi liked how it felt. When Omofe's sons finally returned home several years later, Bumi and Omofe began sleeping at Bumi's flat. It was strange being with Omofe in the bedroom she had once shared with Augustine and in the flat she shared with her daughter. Bumi began to feel ashamed. She did not want to be that sort of person. Bumi could no longer enjoy Omofe's company in the bedroom. "What's wrong?" Omofe asked. "Tell me what I can do and I'll do it." Bumi did not know what to say. She stopped inviting Omofe to sleep at her flat, stopped working closely with her, and did not sit next to her at church. Omofe soon became tired of asking Bumi what was wrong and left to work for another cleaning company. When Omofe arrived at church with another woman, Bumi was surprised at how quickly Omofe had moved on. She was also surprised at how upset she felt about it. Kofi was another cleaner who worked for Bumi. He was an older man with a wife who had died, 5 adult children, and many grandchildren. One night, Kofi invited Bumi to have a meal at his home, and they began to date soon after that. They spoke to each other about their lives, and Bumi told him about all the people she loved who had died young. She told him that every time he left her sight, she expected him not to return. She told him about Carol and how she had married a white man. A white man who Bumi likes more than she had expected to. Now, Bumi sits in the garden of the home she shares with Kofi. He is her husband now, and Bumi misses Omofe more than she ever did. In a perfect world, she would like to have both Omofe and Kofi in her life, but she knows that will not happen. Only men are allowed more than one partner. Freddie and Carol visit most Sundays for lunch, and sometimes Kofi's children and grandchildren join them. There's a line of apple trees in their garden and a small pond that Kofi calls Lake Kofi. Bumi likes to sit in the garden in the sun with a glass of fresh lemonade. Bumi wishes her mother was alive to see her enjoying her new life. "See me now, Mama. See me now."